We're on the air. Looks like Lexi Prince. Isn't it amazing how a child can, they can reach and pick something up and they'll get the lens every time? They'll get right in the center of it. Bullseye. I think it had something to do with cookies. See a magnified cookie crumb when I look in it. Okay. Oh, Father, this morning we thank you for your presence. And Father, we thank you for your understanding that you dwell within each and every one of us. That, Father, none of us have an inside with you to any degree greater than anyone else. We are all your children, Father. And in the order that we've came to the kingdom has no concern to us. The only concern we have, Father, is that we are in the kingdom. We're in the kingdom with the King. Father, that's all that matters. We love you. We bless you this morning. We thank you for your presence in our life, for the grace and the mercy that you've given us beyond our comprehension. Father, when we didn't deserve anything, you chose to love us and pour out your mercy and grace in our lives. Father, we thank you for that. And in return, Father, we can do nothing but love you and love the humanity that you have created. Father, let us truly today open our hearts and hear what your Spirit is saying to us. Father, teach us today by your Spirit. Father, bring us to a place where only you and us can come to. Father, take us to the secret place. Let us stand truly in the shadow of the Almighty, in the middle of the noonday sun. Father, let us stand in that shadow. It's very, very small, and that shadow is only under your feet. Father, let us stand in your presence. We love you. We thank you today. And Father, as we open your word today, open our hearts and truly pour the understanding of your Spirit into us. Amen. Revelation 16, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. Because they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with a great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which has power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth into the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle, to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he be naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail of the plague thereof, before the plague thereof was exceeding great. And we know that this is a spiritual book. Now, if you listen to your intellect whenever I just read this or when you read this, you think about, oh, whoa, 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 there's a whole bunch of bad things going on and God's mad at us and he's going to punish us. Now, that's what everybody thinks, and that ain't got a thing to do with it. Okay? Know this. God is a God of love. Right or wrong? God is a God of love. He's sure not going to tie me up to a post in hell and burn me for eternity. Okay? Ain't going to happen. Because I don't believe in no devil with a pitchfork and horns on his head. That's a figment of a religious imagination. The only devil there is the one between her ears. Okay? And the only hell there is right between her ears where he stays. See? That's the hell that we have to worry about. God has not created some hell with eternal fire and torment in it. If he was a God of love, he could not do that. See, that's the duality that's in the mind of humanity that thinks that God can be both. Hello. It's not there. Now let's go back and see what he's got to say. Spiritual book. When John wrote this in the first chapter of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 10, what did John say? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So if we're going to understand what John is talking about, we got to do the same thing. Hello? We have to get into the Spirit of God to hear what he says. Would that make sense? Okay? I think right now we should be in the Spirit of God. We should live there. Okay? But when we shut all the things of the world out, now we can hear clearly and plainly. And that's what I'm saying. Right now we should have our attention focused on hearing what the Spirit's saying to us. Right? So we don't hear stuff outside in the world. We're not going to worry about it. We're going to get this thing settled today. Okay? John says, I heard a great voice out of the temple. This word temple is not Hieron, it's Naos. That means it's a spiritual temple. Literally, if you look at the word, it's literally talking about the Holy of Holies, the innermost part of the temple. And it's a spiritual thing. It's not the literal temple. Okay? So where did John hear this great voice from? He heard it from within himself. Where does God dwell? Okay. We're the temple, right? And this great voice he heard was the Word of God speaking to him. See, it's not external. Where is it? It's internal. God dwells within humanity. So we hear the voice of God speaking from within. John's laying a pattern here that we can see the same thing. How do you get encouraged? From what comes within. David cried out in the Psalms and said, when no one else was there to encourage me, I encouraged myself. How did he do it? From the Holy Spirit that dwelt within him. Didn't he cry out, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me? Don't tell me he didn't have a Holy Ghost. He had it. He just didn't understand how to utilize it yet. But it was within him. And this great voice out of this temple saying to the seven angels or messengers, go your ways. Whose plan is this? It's God's plan. Go your ways and pour out the vials of what? It's passion of God, not the wrath. It's the passion. It's the thumos. The passion of God, not upon the earth, but into the earth. The word upon there is literally the Greek word ice, which means into. So poured into the earth, which we are, right? Pour those vials out in our life. Don't you know that some of the things that was shared this morning is part of these seven vials being poured out in your life? Who ordered them poured out? Come on. How do I make you happy to know that it ain't some devil controlling your life? It's out of control and God can't take care of him. See? It ought to make you happy to know that God's doing it. Well, why is he being so harsh to me? Because he loves you. He's going to correct you and he's going to put you back in the path that you're supposed to be in. See? It's not something to be upset about. It's something to rejoice in. Come on. And the first went and poured out his vial into the earth. And there fell a noisome, or literally it became, the word there fell as it writes, genomei, it should be it became. It became a depraved and evil or wicked sore to who? Men, or literally humanity. See? Now, what do you think he poured out? The Word of God. What else can God pour out? And look what it did. It became a depraved, evil, and wicked sore upon humanity. And now look which ones it was a sore to. It was the ones that had what? That's the natural humanity. And the ones that worshipped his image. I'm going to tell you, this is the dust and the sand. Two realms. The first two realms, the first two covenants, dust and sand, this mark is exposing them. They're natural people. The beast nature. And then the ones who worshipped it. There's your religion. See, there's the religion. And they're taking the letter of his word, and that's what's creating their images. They're not listening to the Spirit of God, which is the life of the word. They're only using the dust and the sand, the letter. Oh my. And the second angel poured out his vial into what? Which is humanity, the sea, humanity. And it became as the blood of a dead man, right? And every living soul died in the sea. Well, you know what? I see this as mercy and grace. God said through Paul in Romans 11:32, he said, I concluded all in unbelief that I might have mercy upon all. How do I make you happy? It's okay to be considered in unbelief. Because when you're unbelief, now he can do what? He can have mercy on you. See, he put us all in unbelief that he could have mercy on all of us. Oh, God. Nobody's took a lap yet. We're going to get there. But every living soul died. This is God's word, isn't it? And the third angel poured out his vial into the what? The rivers and fountains of waters. This is the flow of word out of humanity. See? It's the flow coming out of humanity. And he poured it out upon it. And it became what? I can take this back to the garden. Oh, God. Adam was born with the flow of God in his life. It said there was four rivers flowing out of this garden, which he was. Four rivers flowing out, four rivers of life. And this vial was poured out into his life. And it said it did what? It became as dead. When Adam left the flow of the Word of God and stepped into the realm, I will do what I want to do, what happened? He said, you'll die, didn't he? And it brought death. So the rivers became death. So the flow of words coming out of humanity no longer is life. What is it? It's death. Oh, but there's a good word coming a little later on. Hang on. There's a good one coming. But the rivers and fountains become blood or death. I can take that to Moses. He showed you the same pattern, didn't he? When Pharaoh didn't want to give up, and Pharaoh's just a type of this thing up here between her ears. And when he didn't want to give up, God said, okay, I'll just give you blood to drink. He turned every river and every bit of water in the whole country of Egypt into what? You want to live in death? Okay, I'll give it to you. God said He'll give you the desires of your heart. Didn't He? And that's exactly what He's going to give you. So, guess what? Let's go on and get the good news coming. And the angel of the waters of the Lord says, "You are righteous, Lord, which art and which was." And the next three words you need to cross out because they're not there. "And shall be." That sounds religious, the three things, but it's not there. He said, "You are and you was. Because you have judged these things." Literally, these things. You've judged these things. You notice what tense that word is? Judged. Past tense. Verse 6, "Because they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink," because they are deserving. They deserve it. "And I heard another out of the altar," from out of the what? The place of sacrifice, "say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." Literally, he heard one from out of the altar. What is the altar? Place of sacrifice. Where is the altar? It's in your heart. Where have I laid my life on the altar at? Right up here. I have given up and laid myself on the altar willingly to be a sacrifice into humanity. So John's saying he heard another. And you know what I think John heard? I think he heard himself giving up. I heard him crying off. I think he heard himself crying off the altar. And where it says, "even so," you know what it literally says in the language? Yes! Emphasis, yes! What's he doing? Agreeing with God. Agreeing with God. That's all he's doing. He's agreeing with God. He's saying, "Yes, Lord God Almighty." Literally it says, "Lord God, ruler of all." See? He's come to a revelation. God's in control of the whole thing. Ain't many done that, have they? A lot of people talk out of their mouth and say, "Well, God's in control," and 3 seconds later, they got their hands on the situation. See? If God's in control, then what good am I going to do grabbing hold of it, trying to wrestle it out of His hands? Will it work? Will I change anything? All I'm going to do is get the flesh knocked off of me, because when God moves, He's going to drag me around, skin me up real good. Let it go. Let God have it. I get the picture of somebody grabbing on a train going down the road, you know, going by and just grab a train when it's going full blast, and you just grab it, you know, just skin you up all down through them trees and posts down the railroad track. See, that's what we do when we grab a hold of things and we say, "God's in control," and then we reach right back and grab a hold of it. Forget it. If He's in control, He's in control, isn't He? He said, "True and righteous are your" what? Literally the word is crisis. It means separations. True and righteous is your separations, Lord. See? Because He's sifting. He's on the threshing floor. And He's threshing that stuff. And He's throwing it up in the air and He's fanning it with His fan. That's the Spirit blowing through your life. He's separating. What do you think He's taking out of your life? The dust and the sand. You won't have to worry about the Sandman any longer. See, Moses had to deal with the Sandman because he killed him and buried him in the sand, and he never left the sand. He stayed in Egypt, didn't he? If you get out of that process and get into the heavenlies where we are supposed to be, guess what? We'll not have dust and sand in our eyes, but we'll see the stars clearly. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch humanity with fire. Now, guess what? Who are we talking about here? Look at it. Think about it a second. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch, or literally burn, humanity in fire. Fire is judgment. Fire is purification. Who was given the ability to bring this on all of humanity? Adam, the beast. See, he was the man. He was the son, wasn't he? Wasn't Adam the son of God? And he was the son, S-O-N, But this is all symbolism. And he was given power, right? He was given power to scorch humanity or bring judgment upon humanity, right? Adam, when he went through the process that he had to go, I hate to even use those, some of those words that we commonly use about the fall of Adam, because it don't say anywhere in the Old Testament about a fall. Okay? It just, he disobeyed God. He transgressed. Eve sinned, says Adam transgressed. So, anyway, he has this power to do all of humanity. Okay? And he's scorching humanity. Have you any, I think some of us today have said they felt the fires of humanity on you. Right? True or false? Okay? You felt it, and that's where it comes from, out of that dust and sand. We don't have to have that in our lives if we understand what God's doing. And verse 9, and humanity, what? Was burned, was scorched with great heat or a great burning, and blasphemed the name or the nature of God, the one who has power over these plagues or calamities, and they repented not to give him glory. Now look at this. This is exactly what we talked about. Tracy, you brought it up. I wallered. This is people wallowing in what's going on and not seeing what God is doing in your life. See, all these things are coming in your life for what purpose? To change you in your thinking process about God. Right? So if I don't repent, which is to think differently, metanoia, if I don't think differently, then I still think that what I'm doing is right, and there will continually be what in my life? Pure hell. See? Fire in your life. Because I don't think differently. When God brings these things into your life, it's to open your life up, show it to you, not everybody else in the world, but it's to show it to you. Sometimes other people get to witness it. Okay? And that gives them the opportunity to judge and condemn you. That's not what it's about. It's to show you in your life that you have something that God wants to remove. And until you look at it and say, take it, God, I don't want that in my life any longer, your other hand's going to have your fingernails dug into it. You've got to release it with both hands. Let God have the whole thing, and guess what? It ain't so bad, is it, brother? It ain't so bad when you just let Him do what He wants to do. Your flesh is going to cry out, but your spirit is going to cry out at the same time saying, yes, amen, I like this. He's in control. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. Well, where does the beast sit? Right between your ears. I won't touch that one. Had an opportunity there, but I'll pass. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. That's the mind of humanity. And his kingdom was what? Full of darkness, which is what? Ignorance. Ignorance, see? When darkness is upon something, it's symbolic of ignorance. So when this angel poured it out, we can just go along with this. Babylon. Mumbo-jumbo confusion. See? That's all it is. It's confusion. We'll get to Babylon here in a minute. And his kingdom was full of darkness. The beast's kingdom is full of darkness. See, doesn't it amaze you that people want to dwell in the kingdom of the beast? I mean, all of humanity in general wants to live in the kingdom of the beast. They think they're in control because of this darkness, this ignorance that they have in their life. They're ignorant of the fact that God is in control. So they like it out there because they think they're doing what they want, and they're only doing what He wants. See? It's amazing what people think. And they gnawed their tongues, or they chewed their tongues from the pain. Did you ever see people do that? Did you ever bite your tongue? Anybody ever bite your tongue? Man, that hurts. I mean, if there was anything to cuss in me, I'd cuss when I bite my tongue. But I don't have the words in me no more to do it, so I don't do that, but... can you imagine somebody biting their tongue to nullify the other pain? What that would feel like? I've seen people in their lives do things so stupid and bring so much pain and destruction into their lives and their families, And they said, but I can't quit. I like it. Anybody ever see that? Huh? Come on, it goes on every day. This is not talking about some supernatural person that's biting their tongue because their legs and arms are getting ripped off like a fly, you know. God's not picking their legs off. This is talking about things we do every day in our life that brings pain and destruction into our houses, in our families, and yet we will not change it because it's comfortable to our flesh. Come on. This is putting it where it goes. Okay. Sure, we all have if we're honest. But I don't understand. I don't like pain. Does anybody here like pain? I don't. And it hurts so much. But we'll do it anyway. See? The very last thing we will do is admit that God is right in our life. It should be the very first thing that sons of God should come to. And yet we are the last thing that we'll do is think about God as being right. Isn't it amazing? And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores. Isn't that humanity? Somebody else's fault. It's all external. See, nothing wrong with me, is there? Isn't that humanity? Nothing wrong with me. Couldn't possibly be me. Sounds like a little bit of idolatry to me. A little worshiping of the beast, huh? Come on. Worshiping of the beast. And he said, this sore that they had, the language really says, it's a wound producing a pussy discharge. That's one of them real good sores. See? But you know where the wound is? Come on. Revelation 13. The beast had a wound where? Where's the beast have the wound? In his head. You know what the word mouth means? Does anybody know what the word mouth means in the Greek language? A gash in your face. And it produces pus. Anybody ever produce some pus out of your mouth? Huh? That's what humanity does. Everything that rolls out of the mouth of humanity is pus. I'm telling you the truth. That's what the language says. And the beast had a wound in his head. And it was a gash in his face. And it poured out the pus of humanity. Come on. Let's look at this thing right. Come on. Oh, God. And repented not. Even though God is giving them the answer, He has supplied everything we need. True or false? Where is it supplied at? In you from Christ. And yet everything is here to take care of all those wounds. He's poured in the oil. He's poured in the wine. And guess what? We still want to pour out all that pus out of this gash in our face, don't we? We don't want to accept what God has already provided in our lives. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so simple, but we can't see it. And they repented, or they didn't change the way they thought about what was going on in their lives. Okay? Of their deeds. See, they repented not. They didn't change the way they thought about their deeds. Not God's deeds, right? God. He's got a sense of humor. They repented not of their deeds. My, my. They didn't change the way they thought about what they did. All these things going on, and all they can do is point out. You know, a long time ago when I built this building, I wanted to put mirrors on the inside of these walls. And if I ever come to the financial place where I can do it, I'm going to do it yet. I'd love to have mirrors all the way around this room. Haven't I said that from the beginning? Huh? Yeah, just reflecting from each other. But I want to put a natural mirror around the room so we can see everything going on in the room. You can see what I see. You see everything. See, when you look at me and you look at this wall behind me, what would you see? You'd see your own reflection. See everybody. You'd see your own reflection and everybody else. And you know what? Being transparent, being able to see everything going on is the greatest freedom in your life. Mike gave me something a long time ago. I've never forgot it. It's in my office. It's been there for years. And it says this: you will stay the same until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of the change. Listen to those words. Listen to those words. I've never forgot it. I wrote it on Ed's business down there in his business down in his machine shop for years. You will stay the same until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of the change. If we can get a hold of that, you'll find out something. We're never going to change until pain is involved in our life so great. And see, when we complain about the pain in our lives, all we're doing is asking God not to change us. Come on. Isn't that what we're really saying? Don't change me. I'd rather stay in my darkness. I'd rather have this gash in my face producing pus. See? I'd rather do that than speak the Word of God. And that's the truth. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. Well, this word Euphrates means good and abounding. Well, now which way are we talking about it? Is it the worldly way or is it the God way? Euphrates River is in what country? Egypt. Okay? Egypt speaks of the world. So this great flowing river is a flowing of the words of humanity. Okay? It's the flowing of God's, of the humanity, the words of humanity, that pus that's flowing out of all those mouths. Okay? And the sixth angel poured out his vial into this great river, this great flow of words of humanity. And the water thereof was what? Oh my God, I wonder what this might be. What could this be? What was poured out upon this earth that dried up the humanity? Was it not the blood of Christ? Was it not the blood of Christ that was poured upon this humanity that dried up the ways of humanity and opened the gates for the Christ to come within? Come on, is it not? Look in the Spirit what God's trying to tell us. This great thing that He poured into this flow of humanity was the blood of Christ. Does not the blood of Emmanuel flow in our veins? Huh? Come on. See, this is the life. And it's preparing something. This blood was poured out of this vial into the flow of humanity. And the water thereof, or the words thereof, was dried up, that the way of not the kings, but the King of the East. Who's the King of the East? It's the Christ. That the way of the King might be prepared. And you know what? The word might isn't even there. He poured it out so the way of the King, not kings, plural, but the King of the East, that's the day star, okay? That's the Son of Righteousness. And we're talking about the Christ, aren't we? So we see Him being prepared. And what was poured out that prepared it? His blood. Come on. And he said, I saw three unclean, or literally demonic spirits, look like frogs. That's just the way he talked about it, he described it. Out of the mouth, and a frog was an unclean spirit, unclean animal, wasn't able to eat it. Out of the mouths of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. The dragon literally is what? It's the mind of humanity. The beast is the human nature. And the false prophet, who is that? It's the religious imposters. Okay? It's the tales that preach and teach lies. It's the tales. Isaiah 9:15, if you want to look it up. Verse 14, because they are the spirits of what? Huh. And what do these devils do? Whoa, that sounds like the church. Watch out. We're going on uncharted ground here. Oh, they're spirits of devils. They're in the false prophets. They're in the humanity. They're in the mind of humanity. And they're working miracles. And they're devils. Doesn't it say so? These are devils working miracles. They go forth into the kings of the what? Didn't say the kings of the stars, did it? Well, honey, my place of residence is in the stars. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. I'm not seated in the dust or the sand. My human body might be here, but I ain't here. I'm not on this earth. I don't know about that. We'll talk about it. Okay? I don't know about that. But, he says, they go forth into the kings of the earth, the dust and the sand, and the whole world. See? Not just in the church realm, but guess what? The whole world is being deceived by these demonic influences. Now, anybody thinks that they're exempt from that, and he's setting the dust in the sand, you better get into the stars if you want to get away from this. Because this book says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. We have to ascend into the heavenly. We can't. There's nothing wrong with being in the dust as long as I don't stay in the dust. I can ascend up into the sand realm. Okay? That's just a little bit bigger chunks of dust, isn't it? But then, it's okay to be in the sand as long as I don't stay there. I have to ascend into the star realm, into the heavenlies. And then when I'm in there, it's no longer a woe. Didn't I just teach in John last week that keeping His commandments are not what? Grievous. Why? Because when you come into the heavenly mind of God, it's no longer a chore to serve God. It's a pleasure and a blessing just to be able to help somebody. It's no longer grievous to give up the things of the world. You're free. And in everything you do, it's a joy to do it. It's a difference. We look through God's eyes. We're no longer looking through the eyes of humanity. It's a joy to do these things. You think I don't get high on it? My God. I wish sometimes you could get inside of my head and see what God's saying and doing in there. I wish I could just download it like a computer, just give it to you. It don't come that way. It's not God's way of doing it. You've got to get it from the Master Himself, the Teacher Himself, the Spirit. I'm just giving you an outline. Okay. There are demons that go forth in all the earth and the whole world to gather them to what? To the battle of that one great day of God Almighty. See? And these demonic spirits, all they're doing is gathering people together. See? It's gathering other spirits together. It's not the people. Try to remember that. It's the spirits in people. That's the problem. It's not the people. Because when God created humanity on the sixth day and He stepped back and He looked at it and said what? No, He didn't. He said, this is very good. And I don't think God missed one thing. I think He saw it all. When He created us, He said we was very good. And I believe that with all my heart. I don't think God lied, deceived anybody, or missed a thing. Behold, I come as a thief. Now, you know our thinking's wrong on that most of the time. We're looking as a thief, as some cat burglar sneaking in around things in the middle of the night. Well, how could every eye behold him if he comes sneaking in like that? In their culture, in Eastern culture, a thief, they rode in bands and they come up and just took what they wanted right in the middle of the day. And when God comes in, He don't come in and ask your permission, does He? He comes in and takes what He wants. You belong to Him. And He's going to claim it. He's going to come as a thief. Watch Him come. Watch Him. Blessed. Literally the language says, supremely blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments. Now this word garments doesn't just mean your clothes on your back. It means your inner and your outer garments. It's talking about what's inside of you, the righteousness of Christ within you and without you. And you know what? The inside takes care of the outside, don't it? If I take care of what God has placed in my heart and I protect the heart that He's placed within me, same with you, you protect this heart that God has placed within you, guess what? It'll take care of the outside. See, if my heart is right, if I was an alcoholic, as long as I don't see anything wrong with drinking, what will I do? I'll continue to drink. But as soon as my thinking has changed on the inside, right? And I see alcohol is a bad thing. Now I've got a struggle. I've got a struggle in my life. Am I going to wrestle with it? And this is where most people are. Am I going to wrestle with it? Am I going to try to beat this thing? Or am I going to say, Lord, this one's yours. I can't do it and I know it. But I know you can and I give you full authority in my life. I give it up. What's going to happen? He'll take it. He don't take me wrestling and casting out devils. All I got to do is when I understand that God is in control of everything. He is Lord God Almighty.
right? Ruler of all. Positive and negative. He rules the demons as well as he rules us. Right? Well, if I give it to him and say, do what you want with it, do I got to worry about anything? I can walk in peace. And you know what the world's going to tell you? You know what the church world's going to tell you? Boy, you're in trouble. You know what? When people speak things to me like that, you're going to say, I hear you, Adam. I hear you. I hear that nature coming out of you. And my book says, they that are the sons of God, hear my children, hear my what? And the voice of another they will not follow. I'm not going to follow that one down depression, condemnation, low self-esteem. Guess what? That's not God's voice. God's voice is encouraging. I tell you, you've already made it. Because I made it, and you made it in me. Right? God's going to lift you up in this thing. You don't have to be afraid of this book of Revelation. It won't hurt you. It'll kill you. It'll kill the flesh in you, but it'll raise you up as a son of God, mighty in power, bold in who you are. It will. It'll make you bold. And when you're bold, you're going to intimidate people. But you don't have to try. If you just be who you be, you're going to intimidate people. When Jesus walked, did he intimidate the religious folk of the day? Come on. If he got close to them, they were spitting and sputtering. Just walking in the temple, he made them nervous. Didn't he? Because he didn't even have to try to supersede what they were doing. That the one who keeps his garments, he's blessed, supremely blessed. Least he walked naked, and they see his shame. So if I don't keep my garments, my heart protected more than anything, the heart that God has given me, someone's going to see my shame. Absolutely, you're going to be exposed. But who's going to see your shame? The righteous ones. The righteous ones will see your shame. But know this. When you see someone uncovered, what should you do? You cover them. You cover them, see? When I see someone's shame, it's not to hurt and destroy. God said, forgive them. See? Cover them. When you see a brother or a sister that's missing the mark, do we destroy them? See? We cover them, don't we? Did he cover us? Okay. We had our shame showing, didn't we? And he covered us. So when this happens, what do? We're not worried about seeing it and saying, oh, look, boy, they blew it. See, that's not important, is it? The important thing is saying, hey, look, I see something going on in your life. And when people come to me and share, I blew it, I've done this, I've done that, this has happened in my life, that's happened in my life. I say, I understand. You're not mad at me? I'm not mad at anybody. You've made a mistake. And nobody in this room or anyplace else on the face of the earth can say, I've not made a mistake. We've all made them. And all I can do is say, I love you, and I'll help you through it. That's all. I'll help you through it. And I don't think any less of you because you did it. See? You've confessed it, now separate from it. Forsake it and get away from it. And the mercy will be poured into your life. I figure I've had more mercy than anybody on the face of the earth, so I got enough mercy to go to everybody. See? And that's the way you got to see it. Not to judge them. See, it said they're making us be seen, but it didn't say anybody's going to be judged about it, did it? Was there any judgment in that scripture? In that verse? I didn't see any. The Spirit didn't put any there. And he gathered them together. And he who? God gathered them. Who is the them? The unclean spirits. See? We got to get this out of our mind, this religious thing that's been taught to us when it says God's going to remove the wicked from the earth. He's not talking about wicked people. People aren't wicked. People are. bones are slimy and warts on them and nasty. That's the kind of things that's in our head, our thinking. Okay? So God is not trying to destroy people. He's trying to destroy one thing. 1 John 3 and 8 said, "For this reason was the Son of God manifested, that He destroyed the works of the evil one." See? Not the evil one. The works of Him. That's a thinking process. Come on. Listen to me. "And He gathered them," the evil spirits, "together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." Literally, Armageddon is the plain of Midigo. It's a crossroads in the natural. It's a strategic military site. You know what? God brings these people into a strategic place where He can deal with them. He brings them right into your face. You can see them. When the enemy's exposed, guess what? He's in trouble. When you understand and you can see the problems in your life, that it's not the people out there externally, but it's the one internal, the way I am thinking. When God puts it in your face, the Hebrew word for that's panim. I can't remember the one for Greek word, but it's not important. But it's in your face. And God will put it right in your face so you can see the problems. Right? "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple," the naos, the spiritual temple, right? "From the throne." Now notice, he poured out this into the air, and there came a great voice out of where?
The temple.
Where's the temple?
Within.
That's you, within, the naos temple. And this voice came out. What voice is this again? It's the voice of God coming out of you, okay? From the throne, right? What is the throne of God?
Mind.
It's your heart, your mind, right? So this voice is crying out from your heart or your mind saying this: "It is finished. It is finished." That's the same word Jesus said, wasn't it? When you realize that you ain't no more. "It's not I that liveth, but the Christ that lives within me." You're going to cry out when you realize the old man is dead. Jesus died 2,000 years ago, and He was called the last Adam. There ain't no more Adam. I can say ain't, I'm hillbilly. There ain't no more Adam. And when you realize that, you're going to cry out in your life, "It is finished! It's over! I don't have to wrestle with this stinking guy no more." Do you understand? It's over! And when you understand that it's over, you'll cry in your heart, "It's finished." And what's crying out of your heart is going to be the voice of God. "It's finished." You're going to know that God done a finished work in you. It's over. Good God. Whew. "And there were voices and thunders and lightnings." This is the Spirit of God speaking in all the realms. "And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since humanity was upon the earth. So mighty," or so vast, "an earthquake, and so great." Well, you know what? When Jesus died, there was a great earthquake. And it shook all of the known world in humanity, didn't it? And the graves were opened and people came out. You know what? The stones rolled away. You can walk it out. It's already been taken care of. Come on. Whew, Jesus, oh Peter. The great earthquake is between your ears. The temple is open. The veil has been rent. We can enter the Holy of Holies. And what was poured out onto the earth? His blood. His blood. And it says boldly we can enter the throne room by His blood. Come on. Whew. "And the great city was divided." What city? Babylon was divided into how many parts?
Three.
Dust, sand, stars. "And the cities of the nations fell." Dust, sand. Come on. Dust and sand. The nations is the imaginations of humanity. And all the imaginations of the dust and the sand has a destiny. And tell me what it is. Tell me what their destiny is. It said the cities of the nations what? They fell. Guess what? The dust and sand will never be in the heavenlies. Because to get in the heavenlies, you've got to shake the dust off your feet. You can't take it with you. You've got to leave it right here where it belongs, on the earth. Right? He said, what's earthy is earthy. Leave it there. And the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give to her the cup of what? Or the revelation of what? The word fierceness of his wrath. Both of these words are in here used incorrectly. It's not fierceness and it's not wrath, but it's the passion of his desire. It's thumos or gay. The passion of his desire. It's time for Babylon to find out she ain't who she thought she was. She has no power, no authority in you. It's time for her to understand. It's time to go. It's over with. It's finished. Okay? So now we know that Babylon has been judged. She's been exposed. Right? And in this process, what happened? Now look what happens when you realize the confusion is gone in my life. I understand now that God's in control of not some things, but all things. He's Lord God Almighty, ruler of all. Now look what happens. The islands, what happens to them? They vanished, the language says. Well, see, when I realize I don't have to deal with Babylon because Babylon's divided, right? Isn't that right? Three parts, he said. See, when I realize Babylon is already destroyed, it's already fallen, okay? It's already fallen. It's finished, right? Now, isolation is done away with. As long as I think there's divisions, there will be divisions. God is one. We're sons of God. Is that true or false? Okay, if it's true, we're all one in God. Well, guess what? There's no more division. The only division is in our thinking process. We think we're divided. Just because Rick don't look like me, that don't mean he's not my brother. Does it? We're still brothers. If someone leaves this fellowship and goes to another fellowship, does that mean they're not our brothers? No. If they leave us, it's their division. See, they did it. We didn't. We're going to love them, regardless of what they do. It doesn't make any difference, does it? All we got to do is realize one thing. We're all one. We came from the same seed of God. They're no less than we are. We're no greater than they are. But all the islands fled away. All the isolations, the divisions are going to be gone. And the mountains were not found. Mountains represent high places. Speaks of pride and ego in man. You know what? When you realize that God's in control of it all, there ain't no pride left in you. See? And I don't have to be prideful about anything. I'm not even prideful about God. He just is. See? I don't have to be prideful about anything. I can just be what God wants me to be. Well, you look funny, preacher, with half a pair of pants on. It's okay. I don't care what people think about me. You know, I really don't. I don't care. I love them, and that doesn't mean they have to love me back. Does it? I just love them. I thank God you love me with or without a whole pair of pants. See? Doesn't make any difference. God is love. When are we going to start being what God has said He is and we are? When are we going to believe that we are love? Okay? You can't reconcile the whole world by yourself. No matter how bad you want it, God has got to do it. Right? Now, this has come about for verse 21. Now watch this. And there fell upon humanity, the word man is anthropos, humanity, man-faced, a great hail out of heaven. Hail is frozen water. Right? Water is word. A great hard word has came out of where? The spirit realm. About the weight of a talent, 100 pounds. You know what it is? It's heavy. It is responsibility. But here's what it is. This great hard word to those people in the dust and the sand, it is a burden. It is the law. 10 times 10 is the law. It's a witness of the law in their life. But you know what? They're not hearing the Spirit of God. They're hearing the letter of the Word, the bondage that they're in. So it's a great weight upon them. because they're trying to do something they can't even hope to accomplish. And yet in their heart they're saying, you got to do this. And they're telling everybody else, you got to do this. You got to read your Bible. You got to go to church. You got to do this. You got to be a good person. And they can't even live it themselves. And you know what? It's that great weight upon them. Because inside of their mind, they are in so much condemnation, or else they're in deception, that they're not doing it. That's what's going on in their life. So this great hail came upon who? And humanity did what? They blasphemed God because of the plague or the calamity of this heavy word that come upon them. Because the calamity thereof was exceeding great. How many people, and they're right in this room, have cursed God because of what God was doing in their lives? Okay? Now that's not bad in itself. It's when we choose to stay there. Every one of us has come to a place when we're just so frustrated we'd like to tell God that where He could go and take it. Right? I've been there, come on. If you're honest, you've been there. Because it just wasn't what everybody told you it was. But now when I understand, I was trying to do something the law put on me. God didn't put it on me. I'm a free man. You are a free person. God has set you free. We no longer have to walk under the bondages of the law. He fulfilled the law. It's finished. My God. Jubilee is a good number. 50 is Jubilee. And my God, Jubilee, everything is restored to freedom. Everything that's been taken away from you. Oh my, yes. Absolutely. I hope I didn't bore you today.